Hello, everybody. A very good morning. Welcome to today's session of your weekly Markets Monday podcast brought to you by HISA. My name is Felix Ocheng, and today we'll be looking at very interesting facts that we've seen happen across the financial market space. And this is one important aspect that we'll be looking at. We're going to be looking at the expectations that we have this week across both the local market space and also the global market space. And to just have a little bit of an overview of what's likely to happen this week. And so that's one thing that I believe we'll definitely be talking about or just looking into. If this is your first time joining Markets Monday, Markets Monday is a podcast that is brought to you by HISA, HISA app. You might want to go into your app store or your Play Store and then just look into HISA and download HISA app. It's an interesting app where you get to follow a lot of discussions and also just give guys a bit of interesting discussions around finance and also get live market data and also get more podcasts like this one. We have a lot of shows that we always look into during this session. And it's always an interesting bit to have you guys all aboard. The one thing that we always look at is to give guys a bit of an interesting view on markets. And when we're looking on markets, we'll definitely be looking at how the local market space performed and what is the possibility, what's the likelihood of having similar interactions or similar happenings within this week on markets. And also at the same time, we'll also be looking at what's likely to happen across the global market space. This week, it's an interesting week because we're seeing a lot of companies really releasing the financial results. And that's one thing. I think for the first time, we're going to have about 40 or so companies that are listed across global markets actually releasing their financials, with today being an interesting day because we'll be seeing. Last week, we saw some of the largest companies or some of the largest tech companies like Snapchat, that is Snap Inc., that released the financials. And the financials really sent a shockwave across various global markets. And I know that's one thing that we all technically be hoping to have an overview on on how that's likely to have an impact on other markets. The first thing that, before we begin, I think it would be interesting to note is that this morning, Housing Finance Group, that's HF Group PLC, has announced that Professor Olive Mukenda has been appointed as an independent non-executive director and a chairperson to the board of directors, effective 21st of October 2021. And so that means from last week on Thursday, she picked up this position. I know Olive Mugenda is not new to most of us. This is currently the chairperson of the Kenyatta University Teaching and Referral Research Hospital. She's also a chairperson she's actually the commissioner to the Judicial Service Commission and an executive director at UBA Kenya. And I think she's also been known largely for being the VC for KU, that's Kenyatta University, moving the university from one phase to another. And so if you've probably had this engagement with her, it's a congratulations from us here at HISA on that appointment as she picks up the new role, which is slightly challenging, you know, I believe for her and also for HF Group, which has also been facing a little bit of headwinds in terms of financials over the past few years. But let's see just what challenges or what changes will Professor Olive Mugenda actually bring into the table. And we're hoping that it will be more of a positive trend, you know. We're possibly hoping for the company to bring in more financials, more results, and more positive results. We know how HF has always been. In terms of financials, being one of the worst performers in terms of price for the bank, for the investors on the Nairobi Securities Exchange. So it would technically be a very important face for the company if we could see more changes, you know, if we'd probably see more positive energy in the company. I think that is something that most investors, including myself, not an investor at HF Group, but I think for investors, shareholders, active shareholders for HF, this would actually be an interesting bit for the company to actually move forward. So that's one thing I know we'll technically be looking into. Now, if you're looking now onto how the markets performed last week, remember, one of the main reasons why we're always looking onto how the markets performed the previous week is because it's always said that if you look at the previous performance, there's a high possibility you might get a hint of how the next performance will be. So that's why we have to begin from how the last week's performance for the Nairobi Securities Exchange and even other markets, how was this like? In terms of indices, overall, the NSE was technically on the red last week because we were seeing benchmark indices actually end the week lower. Starting off with the NSE All Share Index, which was down about 0.18% to close the week at 178.54 basis points. The NSE 20 Share Index was also down to close the week about 0.49% to close the week at 1960.75 basis points. And the NSE 25 Share Index was also down 0.05 to close the week at 3,865.42 basis points. So we're seeing into last week, the overall market activity, and earlier on, and always we say this, that the benchmarks of whatever you need to look at whenever you invest in is the index, because the index technically gives you an overall view. It's usually like getting a bit of a feel of the entire market by just looking at the index. So if you think the market indices are going lower, then that technically means that the overall market sentiment or the overall market activity for the week was pretty low. And so in this case, we're seeing the NSE was down, the benchmark indices were down during the week. And this was brought about by a majority of the companies that have really, really been rallying on the index. Starting off with Safaricom, was down last week. And also looking at other smaller companies that have also been rallying. If you're looking at the All Share Index, for example, we're seeing companies that have been making huge moves over the past few weeks coming in and becoming the top losers as well. If you're looking at that performance in terms of week-on-week performance. The overall market activity for the week was pretty high, though. It was also a very short trading week. Remember, on Monday was a holiday. On Monday was a holiday, and then on Wednesday was also another holiday. So pretty much we had a 3-day trading week on the NSE, and yet the shortened trading week we still had a lot of activity really increase on the exchange. The equity turnover was up 53.2% to 3.2 billion worth of shares trading. This is compared to a week earlier where we had 2.1 billion worth of shares trading on the market. The activity in terms of volume, we had also a rise by 33.4% with 73.2 million shares exchanging hands compared to 54.9 million shares that were actually trading hands a week earlier. So we're seeing this in terms of even if with the shortened trading week, we're still seeing a lot of activity. Looks like a lot of investors were also trying to get an opportunity to buy into the market during the short week. We're seeing here where despite prices really coming into a drop, but investors are also eager to get into these opportunities before markets would probably jump. Last week, I know there was also a little bit of concerns because global market investors were also looking onto a lot of activity from the Feds, which also announced that they're actively beginning to reduce the bond purchase program or tapering, which has been a concern across various investors across the globe. And one of the things that we had mentioned earlier on, we mentioned this during the Way Curious podcast, and that is something that you can definitely get on the HISA app, is that a lot of investors on the NSE are actually foreign investors. So whenever we're seeing activity that is probably hitting on to the foreign investments, then there's a high possibility that that would also have a ripple effect on the local market. And so when we're seeing investors being jittery on the Fed, then we're seeing here that this would actually have a concern as well on the local market as well. But then it's not only onto that. There was a lot of stuff that was happening last week. On Monday, we actually saw the Turkish Central Bank It was on Tuesday when the Turkish Central Bank actually reduced their rates. And so we're seeing most banks globally, the global central bank, we're seeing the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, we're seeing the ECB, we're seeing the Australian Reserve Bank. All of them are trying to, you know, figure out ways in which they could increase the rates. But then we're seeing in Turkey where the rates are actually coming down. And so it's been a little bit of a challenge, at least for investors. And it's not only that. We saw last week when Turkey was actually put into the gray list. And so that's one thing. That's because the Global Terror Finance Watchdog put it on the gray list by saying that Turkey has not been doing enough in terms of combating financial crimes. That is mostly in terms of funding terrorism. This was something that Turkey had been informed to actually make certain corrections to in 2019. But then the Global Finance Watchdog still really feels that Turkey is yet to actually do a lot in terms of combating terrorism financing. And so a lot of this financial news that we're moving in really hit onto the space. But then also for the local space, one of the things that really hit onto the global financing, onto the local banking system, was the news that the president had announced that the country would actually be looking at lifting the 1 million. There's always been a 1 million tag on financing, where for any amount that is above a million, you actually need to give the bank the reason why you're transacting on that amount. And so the president gave room and said that this would actually be reviewed upwards so as to give guys a lot of liquidity. So we are likely to see this impact the market. But then also another thing that also hit a little bit on various companies was that the listings for the Credit Reference Bureau, where in this case we're seeing the government actually telling defaulters that, or literally not defaulters, but credit reports for individuals, guys who've defaulted in loans up to 5 million. Remember, this was earlier on, this was moved to a million, and now it's been lifted up to 5 million. So if you defaulted on any loan that you took after October 2020, then there's a high possibility that that record won't be in the credit report. And so that's one thing that I know we're all going to be looking at and just waiting on how that would impact the banking system. Remember, it's a risk to some extent, where we're seeing individual bankers. It's technically like you're here on the banking report and somebody has defaulted on a loan elsewhere and you can't get access to that report. I think that was pretty much of a bold move to the negative edge, not really to the positive edge, because I mean, one of the things about loans and one of the things that we always say is that, and I know we've said that during the We're Curious podcast, is that utamwa deni ni kulipa, which technically means that if you have a loan, the best thing you need to do is to pay it up. And that's one thing I know it's going to be a major concern for bankers. Might probably look onto bankers doing a more a higher level of referencing and, you know, just doing the checks here and there. But it'd also be up to the central bank to actually give these directions to Credit Reference Bureau so that can be effected. So that generally is just a lot of various events that really hit onto the local market space. But that doesn't really also have to mean that you as an individual, you don't have to invest, because in the long run, I know the market's a little bit jittery, but also one thing that you have to look into in this case is to just figure out which opportunities lie there on the market. Because remember, markets out here, markets will always have the various opportunities. But it's also up to you as an individual investor to really figure out which opportunity. And then in markets, there are always risks. So you really have to get to that point where you understand that you're investing on the market. And this is a risk. And you have to now figure out if you're really willing to take that risk. The only thing which I think you also need to know is to measure a little bit of levels of risk. You know, is it a high risk? Is it moderate? Is it a low risk opportunity that you're probably jumping into? An example is if you wanted to react to the news today on HF, if you probably wanted to just look onto how you wanted to buy HF because Olive Mugenda has been appointed to the board, and then you might want to say probably she's a reformist or something like that, and then you buy it in. And then you now want to understand how long will the risk that you've taken probably take before the risk matures. I would always say all risks that you take on the market will have to mature. Whether it's on the loss or a positive edge, all of them are like investments. Your risk will have to blow up blow in one way or another. Something like that. So that those are a lot of things that you as an investor, you technically have to look into as you probably invest on the market. In terms of sector specific performance, last week we saw a lot of activity still jumping on Safaricom, which emerged as the top mover. I would want to say as usual, but not really saying it as let's just say Safaricom was the top gainer as usual. In terms of weekly performance, the top five companies, we still saw a lot of activity from the top five companies, but at least it was lower compared to a week earlier, because the top five companies accounted for about 89.6% of the total market activity for last week. And then that is as compared to a week earlier where they had they only left the other companies with 5%, because a week earlier the top five companies actually had about 94.4%. So that actually left most companies trading with just about 5.6% on the market. In this case, what we're seeing and how the market really is Safaricom came up or emerged with about 91.9% of the total market activity. We had EABL jump in with about 25.87%. Equity Bank was back again at 18.33%. KCB was also in at 6.84%. And finally, Sasini. Can you guys imagine? Sasini was in here at about 6.65%. I think we have a new entrant on this market. It would be just interesting to see to what levels this would be. And also, what was the news that was actually moving Sasini into this case? Because Sasini is one of those companies that you might be surprised to see them on the movers list. I think at least for me, pretty much of a surprise to see Sasini emerge onto this list. And I'm just trying to get on which day that we had Sasini actually trade high, because we're seeing Sasini traded about 213 million worth of shares. I think that is really much of I think not really a concern, but a little bit of a worry. Yes, on 19th of October, that was on Tuesday last week, Sasini had 9.92 million shares traded on the exchange at an average price of 21 shillings and 50 cents. This was an interesting volume because even a day later, Sasini traded 400 shares, and on 18th, that was before the 19th, Sasini had actually traded only 300 shares. And even on Friday, when markets closed, Sasini was actually trading a volume of about 2,000 shares. So one of the things that we always tell investors is that you need to understand why stocks are moving and why certain prices are actually trading, why certain stocks are actually moving. Because at times, and this is an example that we gave earlier on, is that you might find out that what is actually happening here is fund managers are actually moving their books, or you find an investor is actually doing a trade from one book to another. So if a fund manager or if a trustee wanted to move the funds from one fund manager to another, then one of the things that we're seeing in this case would actually be that the funds would be moved through a trade, and this might be a block trade on the exchange. So if you're lucky, in one case, you'd probably see the block trade would have a little bit of an effect where if you put your bid higher and the trade was happening at another, you know, extra level, then you'd probably get lucky because your price might actually be traded on. But if your price was lower, or if you're probably looking onto the buy side and you bid at a lower price, lower than the transaction price, then yes, you might actually get an opportunity to jump in onto the exchange. So we're seeing pretty much of a two-way hit onto this bit, but I really, really think this was more of a fund manager. It was just more of, you know, books being changed here and there, because the last time Sasini really had such a huge volume, I'm just trying to check, and throughout this year, all the way from January, Sasini hasn't really had a huge transaction. The last transaction we had on Sasini was on 15th of October, which is only about 22,000 shares. So we can't really call that even a large transaction. It's more of a mini transaction value. But all in all, Sasini emerged as among the top five counters last week on the NSE with about 213.39 million worth of shares. That is about 6.65% of the total market activity last week on the exchange. The challenge would be which company would jump in this week and replace Sasini onto that list, or will Sasini continue maintaining the volume? And that would be a surprise for all of us as investors. Generally for me, it would be, I don't know about you. A chunk of the market activity, we still saw a reduction on the overall market activity, with a lot of activity actually increasing. Most of the trades last week were actually done on Monday. So it looks like Monday was a good day. It's never really about the watch on Monday, buy on Tuesday, sell on Friday. Remember, the NSE is a T+3. So if you buy on Monday, yes, you sell on Friday. If you buy on Tuesday, you have to wait until on Monday before you can be able to make that transaction. So pretty much of an interesting engagement here on the exchange. So this is one thing that I know we'll technically be looking at. Safaricom, which emerged as the top week, was down on the NSE by about 0.35%. Safcom closed the week at 42 shillings and 95 cents. This is down from 43 shillings and 10 cents where the stock was actually trading at a week earlier. One of the things that probably for you as an investor you might want to ask is, what is Safcom trading at this time of the day? Well, Safaricom, checking this data through the Hisa app, Safcom is continuing that decline because Safcom is down about 0.47% and currently trading at 42 shillings and 75 cents. And so it's still more of a pretty much of a wait and see approach on what's likely to happen on the exchange and on the market. But that is something that is also another story for another day. Looking at it in terms of the decliners, and we're going to compare this with which companies are currently leading the drop on the exchange. EverReady was down 17.4%. And yes, EverReady is back down as well on the race to zero. EverReady has been on the race to zero, but it's also been on the defensive side because for a very long time, we're seeing EverReady dropping down all the way to 0.9, jumping back again to levels of about 1 shilling and 10 cents and then coming back down again. I think one of the things that really surprised a lot of investors was Nairobi Business Ventures, which was down about 14.8%. Wow. NBV is a very interesting case because I think personally for me, NBV has really pushed in a lot of volatility, one of the highest volatilities, at least for me, on the Nairobi Securities Exchange over the past, give or take over the past 1 year. NBV has had one of the most volatile trends on the market. NBV was down last week, 14.8%, and NBV has opened trading today. Just giving you guys the data, NBV was down and closed the week at 5 shillings and 6 cents. And the data in terms of performance, remember, whenever we're talking about NBV, one of the things that we always look at, and I know we should be doing this for all the markets, but don't worry, NBV is a special case because of the volatility that it's actually pushed out there on the exchange. NBV, in terms of year-to-date performance, it's at 18.2% in terms of 1 year. The 1 year returns are still pretty high at about 691%. And in terms of the past 6 months, NBV is up 13.5%. In terms of 3 months, now the short term, the long term, it's good for NBV, but the short term is really bad because the 3 month performance, NBV is down 43.8%. The 4 week performance, that is, if you had NBV 1 month ago in your portfolio, it's probably down about 26.7%. And if you had NBV a week ago, it's 18%. NBV has just dropped from being the top performer on the NSE, and now it's currently trading at the 10th place on the NSE in terms of year-to-date performance. And so I know we're all concerned on this because we've seen a lot of news. I believe last week we actually saw NBV released more information, and a week earlier there was also more information about the completion of acquisition by NBV on the various businesses that they were actually looking at after last year's takeover by Delta. And we're seeing this, that NBV was looking at acquisition of Delta Cement. They were looking at Air Connect and also aviation management systems. And so we were actually hoping for an entire, you know, wrap up by the company, you know, where the company would have a lot in its portfolio. And I remember we were having this discussion last week with one of the analysts, and we were looking at NBV. If they would continue onto this kind of business, then it would actually be interesting just to see onto how the books would be, how the returns for the company would be. But it looks like that has not been the case for investors and shareholders, because we're seeing shareholders are probably having a negative outlook on the company. Now the company is down as well. NBV has traded, has only traded about 100 shares in today's trading session, but it's already up 2.7%. So it's more of a whipsaw for NBV, still a little bit of the volatility that it's showing on the market. But that's one thing that we'll definitely be looking into. Another company that came in and wasn't really of a new beyond to that bit, we had Standard Group, Express Kenya. But we'd also want to talk about WPP Scan Group, which was down about 6.5%. I don't know about you, maybe this is a discussion we can actually take onto the HISA app. What are your thoughts on WPP Scan Group? Do you really think that the company would continue facing the decline or the drop in share price performance that we've seen in recent times? Or what technically would it be for you as an investor? What are your thoughts? I'd really love to have that discussion with you on the HISA app, because WPP is, in terms of being the 10th most traded stock on the NSE, but in terms of year-to-date performance, NBV is still a little bit of a decliner. And this is how the numbers are. In terms of year-to-date performance, WPP Scan Group is down 23.5%. In terms of one-year performance, that is if you had NBV, WPP Scan Group, NBV, Jesus. Okay, it's loaded. I've loaded the correct disk. So now we're having this as Scan Group. So Scan Group, in terms of one-year performance, it's down about 31.5%. In terms of the six-month performance, Scan Group is down 26.4%. The three-month performance for Scan Group is down 0.2%. And then the four-week performance, that is if you had Scan Group in your portfolio 4 weeks ago, it's down 15%. In terms of the actively trading stocks on the NSE, NBV is second. Sorry, Scan Group is second last. So in terms of price valuation, NBV, Scan Group, Jesus, why do I keep saying NBV? I don't know. But we're seeing here that Scan Group, in terms of valuation, it's ranking 57th on the NSE. So that's pretty much of a concern. And I know that's one thing that we're probably... we'd probably be asking and wondering how is this likely to, what would be the change? I'd really just love to have that conversation with you guys as well. So we might want to, we're definitely taking this conversation on the HISA app. What are your thoughts on Scan Group? Do you really think that it's probably reached a level where investors would probably want to move, would probably move out and wait? Do you give it a wait and see approach? What are the likelihoods of the company really having a positive turn over the next 1 year? I think that would be a major concern for me. If you ever bought onto Scan Group, then you might just want to, you know, figure out how this was for you back then. Mostly for the guys who bought into Scan Group during the period when, you know, when Scan Group was all the way up because of the special dividend, jumping all the way from 11 all the way to 25. What was really the rally? And do you think that this would be a turn? Remember, we've had a lot of stuff happen with Scan Group, with the CEO actually stepping down, the CEO and the CFO we saw the other day, and we've seen the books being reinstated. What is this likely to mean for the company? This would be a discussion that we're definitely going to have a review on, or a look on, or just generally give more thoughts on during today's, I think we can have that discussion today on the HISA app. On the gainers list, I know we've talked about the movers and the losers. How about the gainers? Guess what? We have Sassini here as well. So Sassini was the top gainer on the NSE last week, up about 10.24% to close the week at 21 shillings. That is down up from 19 shillings where the company had started trading with on Monday. And then we had ICA Lion, that is ICA Lion Asset Managers. Jesus, this is a very long name. Why didn't they just stick to Stanlib? Anyway, yeah, we know the change that happened with that. But now we're seeing ICA Lion, the irate for ICA Lion Asset Managers. So it's nowadays ILAM, so no longer Stanlib. But the ILAM Fahari irate was actually up about 6.7%. We're really hoping that it would go back up to levels where it was at earlier on. But this would be just something to really look into and hope for in the long term. And I think for the best part of it that we had last week on all of this, personally for me, was to see Kengen really, really gain. Kengen was up about 3.2%. Still much, pretty much of a downer, but I think looking at the trend that Kengen has probably had for somebody who bought Kengen at 9 shillings, you know, and Kengen is now at 4 shillings, hoping that the company would probably jump up to other levels. You might want to do what is known as averaging down, because I know investors who probably bought Kengen at way, way higher levels. But most investors, if guys had an opportunity to average down during the rights issue, then this was definitely something to consider into. But now, the best part of it is Kengen was up last week. I think this was also because of the report that came out where the presidential task force actually gave the reports and various recommendations. I really, really still think that the report had a lot in terms of opportunities for KPLC, but still, it would also really be an important bit for the implementation. Remember, most of these things, yes, the recommendations are given, but who's really going to implement on all of this? That is my number one concern. I don't know about you, but there were a lot of recommendations, including Kenya Power doing a bit of re-engagement with the IPPs, that is the independent power producers or power suppliers, and also just doing a review of the PPAs with these IPPs, because it would actually mean, it was a huge report where you're actually seeing that KPLC would save as much as about $122 million every year if they just did a little bit of this, they just did a little bit of streamlining onto this. The main challenge for me was really onto why must KPLC pay these companies in foreign denominated currencies? I mean, KPLC has suppliers who are being paid in the dollar and suppliers who are being paid in the euro. And with all that, with the foreign exchange rates actually continuing to grow, I think that that is more of a higher liability. I believe that if a company is, I don't know why we need to have companies really literally being paid on foreign currencies. That should be their own liability, where they should actually be forced to have the local currency accounts. And then if they want to have these funds moved into the offshore accounts or moved into other foreign currency accounts, then it should actually be their hit. Why should that be a hit on KPLC? That was actually my main concern with that report. But there's a lot of it. I know that is a report that we also shared, and you might just want to have a look at it. But it's also out there. In case you missed onto that, I know it's on the forum. And the link, I believe, will also be shared on the HISA app so that you can be able to access the report and have an overall view of all that. Now, looking on to how stocks are trading today, and I'm getting this data through the HISA app. So just as we mentioned, when we were starting all this, we told you guys the data would be coming from the HISA app. So if you're yet to download, this might be your opportunity. Looking on to the data, Nation Media Group, oh my God, the share buyback program was up, and now we're seeing NMG is going back to its initial place. We're seeing here that NMG is down about 8%, and now it's trading at 20 shillings. So remember, when we were talking about this, and one of the things that we actually talked about is, for those who have a long-term outlook on NMG, that was a good thing. But if you had a short-term outlook on NMG, if you're probably buying NMG at 21 shillings, for example, and the buyback was being done at 25, what was your end goal on this investment? If you're investing on short term, because after the buyback program, then there would be a possibility that the value which guys were actually buying the price, were buying the stock on, was actually no longer going to be there. And now we're seeing NMGs down back. So these are just those scenarios that you as an investor would want to look at before you actually invest, or something that you might just want to have an overview on at any point or at any time as you're investing on the market. So that would be a major concern for you as an investor. The income rate by ICL Lion, that is ILAM, which was up last week. Last week it was, I think, among the top gainers and was up about 6.7%. Currently it's dropped and it's down 5.4%. So looks like most of this were trading on a little bit of technicalities. NSC, that's Nairobi Securities Exchange, is the stock. So there's always one thing, guys. There's always the stock and the exchange. So yes, the stock is listed. So NSE is self-listed on the Nairobi Securities Exchange as well. So NSE is down about 5.35%. East African Breweries PLC, looks like the lifting of the curfew didn't really do much because EABL is down 1.33%. You know, it's one of those things that when you're looking at how global markets are performing, and you'd always be like, if this would have happened elsewhere, stocks would probably be up about 100%. The same way we saw that company by Trump, actually, the company that did the merger, I wouldn't call it a merger really, it's more of a SPAC, more of a blank check company that was trading and went up about, last week, about 800%. So imagine if you invested 1 shilling and then the next thing you're seeing, it's, oh my God, it's rallying all the way up. So those are things that I know for an investor you might want to look into, but that's an opportunity on global markets. And I know global markets is really coming in soon on Hisa. Safaricom is down 0.93%. In terms of the gainers, Scan Group, which you just talked about, is up about 2.83%. And I really hope you're not buying Scan Group based on the discussion we just have. I would highly encourage you as an investor to constantly have to look on to do a little bit of your own research before you make any trade. Don't let anybody influence your decision to buy or sell a security. You have to ensure that you're making the right decision for yourself. This is money. Getting money is hard, and I would always encourage you to ensure that you do your research before you spend that money. East African Portland Cement is up about 4.99%, and Eveready. Remember you talked about Eveready's race to zero? Looks like it's not really staying on zero because Eveready is up about 0.98% on the exchange. So a little bit more interesting stuff here to look into. But that's it for the local space. I know there's a lot that's really happening on the local market, but I know one of the things that we're really hoping would happen is for the companies to start releasing the Q3 results, mostly for the banking stocks. But we don't really have the dates yet. I really wish we had the dates, because we have the dates for the global markets, but for the local markets, this seems not to be the case. As somebody put it up yesterday, that our local companies usually come in like Jesus, you know, they just push in, and one morning you're waking up and you're seeing the financials, the company X had probably released their financials. So I know that's really much of a concern. But yeah, that would actually be the main thing. I think in terms of global news, in terms of the local news that was actually impacted by another global event, was that KQ signed a deal the other day with British Airways. I really wish we still had KQ on the market. It would have really been an interesting bit to see. Probably NSE should lift this suspension, because until the government probably does something, or until we have a vote onto it, we should still see. It would really be interesting if KQ was to trade back onto the exchange. But I know we'd definitely be looking onto this, and we'd probably just have a more engaging view once this company is also released their financials. But on the global market space, I still think it was really, really much of another interesting bit for the global markets. Markets were a bit jittery on the tech stocks, because for the tech stocks, we know first of all, the good thing is Facebook wanted to change its name. We're really hoping for the new name. And we'd see if that would remove the face from the book, you know, and just see onto how this would actually impact. at least most of the global markets, you know. But last week was also an interesting bit because we saw a lot that happened also in the cryptocurrency space. But anyway, outside the crypto space, I know that is a discussion that we always have on Wednesdays, and you might want to join us as well onto that space. The Dow Jones was up last week. The S&P 500 was up as well. And even the Nasdaq, which was literally taking blows left, right, and center from global markets, was also down, was also up as well last week. So we're seeing in this case where investors are becoming jittery because we're seeing a lot. First of all, was the news from the Feds. And also at the same time, we saw the results from Snap Inc. That's the company that owns Snapchat, actually have a lot of impact on markets, because Snapchat said that Apple's new privacy rules. So Apple had done a lot during the introduction of iOS 15, where the company actually did a lot of issues, giving us as the users, or you as the user, the power to actually choose how companies can actually track and use and use your internet activity in terms of adverts. So companies usually have various devices would always have an ad ID. And so the ad ID would mean what is it that you're likely to see. We've seen how companies use your ad IDs. We've seen that have a little bit of a challenge, mostly onto companies like Facebook. Remember, about 3 weeks ago, we had the issue with Facebook investors where a whistleblower had actually said that Facebook was not doing enough to actually combat various issues, because Facebook was actually using more of your advertisement or your online activity against you. 3 weeks ago, where in front of the Congress, a whistleblower who used to be a former employee for Facebook actually said that Facebook would actually put the company's interest ahead of any other effect. So where I think of the most bizarre examples was where if you're probably looking onto something, and then Facebook would, if your ad activity was telling you to look onto something else, so probably this is from your search history, you're probably looking at how do I stop drinking coffee? And the next thing you'd probably see is benefits of coffee or lots of coffee products coming in online, either on Facebook or on Google. And I know that is one thing that, you know, a lot of investors have probably been into. So now with that tracking capability not being there, because now Apple is actually giving you an opportunity to select if an app can actually track your activity. So if they're not able to track this, then it becomes a huge challenge because they do not really know how to target you. The targeting that companies would always do, where they know that I'm always looking onto how do I buy a pen. And then I would always have varieties of pens that would show up on my feed. And if they don't know that, then the targeting phase, which companies have really, really relied on, becomes a challenge. And so we saw last week Snapchat came in the first one to actually hit onto that. And today we're actually waiting to see how Facebook would probably also, if Facebook was affected, because I know one of the apps that we've always had a higher rate of concern that is probably affecting guys has always been Facebook. But what we never really know is that it's not only Facebook that uses your ads or would always hit you with ads. It's a lot of companies, if you're using TikTok, if you're using Twitter, if you're using Snapchat, all of these companies are probably using your ad. Even companies like Amazon, you know, you probably have your Alibaba app installed on your phone. Or your Amazon app installed on your phone, they're constantly looking, tracking your activity so that they can, you know, figure out the best thing that they can show you as an ad so that you can make that purchase. And we'll just be able to look onto that as well. So I'm personally waiting for how Facebook's revenues would actually be. But in terms of numbers, how Snapchat performed last week, despite Snapchat releasing positive results, it was lower than analysts had expected. The revenue grew by 57% to $1.7 billion. And this was about 93 million short of analysts' expectation. 93 million, I think, is quite a huge figure. The net loss for the company was at 71.9 million. The operating leverage gained for the period in, that is the third quarter for 2021, was a little bit on a positive edge, I think, because the company moved to 52 million in terms of free cash flow. That is from negative 70 million that they had posted in Q3 2020. So companies are having a little bit of a positive return. The adjusted EPS for the company was at 0.17. I think this was very low because most of the analysts had actually looked onto an earnings estimate for Snapchat at around $0.8. So it was more of an interesting bit where the highest thing that really hit onto Snap, in case you're wondering, was this bit where the earnings per share is close to about $70 lower than what analysts had expected, 70 cents. So from 0.8 to 0.17, pretty much low. And that is the reason why the stock actually plummeted on Thursday, that is after hours trade, and also on Friday during market trading. Snapchat shares were actually down about 27% to close the week at about $55. I really don't know how investors would actually would be looking onto it. And I know that's one thing that all of us would probably be looking at, because even in after trade hours, Snapchat continued to probably hit down from $55.14, $55.14. We still saw Snap actually go all the way down to 55 flat. How would that be during today's trading session when we have the US markets open? I think it would be interesting to see how the markets would open and how this would be a reaction to various investors. Do you think it's an eye opener for investors who are investing in Snapchat? Do you think like it's an opportunity for guys to buy in, or it's probably a time to wait and see? Because my concern and my thought would be that Snap was just the eye opener. It's just the start. Because even with this last week, we still saw a lot of stocks really continue to take a beating after Snapchat released their results, because we saw companies like Twitter, which was down about 4.8%. We saw Alphabet Inc., that's the parent company for Google, the Class A shares actually were also down as well, 3.04%. Facebook was down about 5.05%. Microsoft was down as well. So what is the likelihood of having other companies also post losses or a decline in their earnings per share or a decline in the revenue, and also just cite the same thing that Snapchat had said, where it's all about the privacy concerns that Apple is probably introducing. And also, there's also been a lot of pressure on other companies like Google, which brings in Alphabet, which brings in the Android operating system, to also tighten a little bit of the security. And we're seeing the company head said that there's a lot that is also coming in with Android 11. And so will this be, is this the beginning of a ripple effect on the advertising business? And that would technically be a major concern for me. Because if that is the case, then it doesn't really bring in an opportunity for Snapchat, because technically means that as long as other companies are going to be releasing the results, then we are probably going to see a decline in the revenue, and that would affect the entire tech space. And so that would technically be a concern for me. Facebook is releasing the results today on after close. Tomorrow on Tuesday after close, we also have Microsoft and Twitter releasing their results. It's not only this, but these are just some of the notable earnings, I think, in the tech space that we're probably hoping to just have a view on. Another company that relies heavily on ads is Spotify, which is releasing the results before markets open on Wednesday. We're also seeing Amazon, Apple, they're coming in and releasing their results as well on Thursday after market close. How would this be? But there are lots of other companies, because one of the things that I know we're also looking at is Boeing, which is releasing the results on Wednesday before markets open. How would this be? Would there be a little bit of increase in terms of flying hours? Because Boeing literally makes their money from flying hours, Boeing and Rolls-Royce. So how would this be for them? And also, the aircraft delivery for Boeing, have the numbers really increased in third quarter? Early in the year, we saw a lot of activity between Boeing and Southwest, and also even other companies like JetBlue, for example. How would this be? And also another company that I know will be waiting for once Boeing releases the results is Lockheed Martin. And we'll just be seeing on to just how this would have an overall impact on the aviation industry. I think we're seeing a lot. There's still a little bit of positive energy because the airlines industry has taken a little bit of a hit since the pandemic began. And it's now just the question of what are we really going to be into, you know? How is this going to be for you, for guys who've invested in the airline industry? I really think that with various countries really easing the lockdown measures, it would have been another good opportunity for Kenya Airways, for the shareholders. I think the stock would have had another bit of a rally on the NSE. But that's one thing we really have to wait for KQ to be reintroduced back, because it's been suspended for about 1.5 years now. And we're still waiting. We're still hoping that things will turn around for the national carrier and that we'd definitely be able to have it back trading on the exchange. So I think that's it for us here. Still a little bit of, there's a lot of stuff that we can definitely continue talking about day in, day out. Apart from the earnings this week, I think one of the things that we would actually be looking at is the various meetings that would be going across the globe, mostly within the Eurozone, because earlier on the EU had said that they might have a little bit of concerns with the UK on the post-Brexit deal, and we'd just be able to see just how UK would be able to respond to that. So that's it for us. This recording, if you joined in late on today's podcast, this recording will be available on the HISA app. You can definitely be able to grab that. And also, if you have any comment or something you'd want to let us know, please feel free and get in touch with us on the HISA app. Thank you guys, and have a lovely weekend.